welcome to Show Me Your Mic. I'm your host, Chris Enns. This is the podcast that aims to talk to other podcasters about their podcasts. And we circle the complete circle of podcasting. In case you can't tell already, I've got a bit of a cold, got the sniffles, and so it makes for a bit of a sinusy episode. And apologies for that in advance. But I had a great conversation with a couple of folks from Israel, actually, about their podcast that they do over there in Hebrew. This podcast is in English, so you'll be able to follow along if you speak English. If you speak Hebrew, you'll want to check out their show. And we talk a bit about using Google Hangouts and other tech that they use to produce a show over there in Israel. Enjoy the conversation. I'm going to go take some cold medication. Thanks for listening. Bye. This is an episode of a bunch of firsts. First time having, I think, two guests on. Oh, no, that's not true. Actually, I've had Tim and Kyle on, I think, together once before. So that's not completely true. First time having guests from Israel, though, I believe. And first time I've had a major sinus cold while recording a podcast, which may not actually also be true. I am joined by Omer.
Yeah.
Hello.
That's right.
And Nir.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. Hello.
Hello. And you guys are the co-hosts, I guess, of The Noncast.
Is that? Yep.
And that's right. It's a live technology show in Hebrew. So this is, I guess this is another first where I've haven't had a chance to, well, I've listened to it. I can't say that I didn't listen, but I didn't know what you're talking about.
You heard it.
Yeah, I heard it. Yeah. First time I've had a guest who do foreign or non-English language shows, foreign to me, I guess, but never where I don't think I've actually been able to listen to the show. So you do it purely in Hebrew, correct?
Yep, that's right.
Nice. And it's focused on technology and Apple and that kind of stuff. The Google Translate thing for your page gave me kind of a funny, what did it say? Technology program with an emphasis in Hebrew, unbiased on Apple products, weekly paper and forest users. Omer Nino talks about technology, the Apple, and the Israeli connection. So,
yeah, that seems about right. Maybe the bias thing is just a double negative or something, but we are very biased towards Apple, that's for sure.
I kind of figure that's generally Apple shows tend to be fairly biased, which is fair.
if you will listen to the show, you might there are words that you will understand, like Apple, Google, Windows, etc.
No. So,
And you're about 68, by my count anyways, that I saw 68 episodes, assuming the Google Translate gets the numbers right anyways, 68 episodes into that show. Is this your first sort of foray into podcasting, or what's your background in podcasting?
Well, yeah, it's our first. We try to remember if I even did a show before that, but maybe I tried to do like a daily news kind of thing for one episode or two, but basically it was right before WWDC last year, 2013, and I just thought that I want to go into podcasting or try to broadcast, so I bought a Yeti before I even tried to record anything else. And then I looked for someone who wanted to do that with me. And unfortunately for him, Nir accepted the request.
We actually didn't know each other at all before this one time. And I saw in this, there is this Mac forum in Israel, which I saw Omer's blog, and there was some note that he's planning to do a podcast. So I told him that, if you're going to do a podcast, I'll be glad to be a host sometime, a guest sometime. And he said, okay, tomorrow is WWDC. Come to my house. We are doing a show. And that was the first episode. Well, like, we didn't know each other. We shook hands. Hi, nice to meet you. And we started the live coverage of the WWDC.
Nice. So that was episode one, if we go back.
Yeah,
it was. Yep. Nice. And so, I guess that's just, I was going to say a year, but a year and a half now, I guess, basically, since WWDC. It's in June.
Yeah. Our 50th celebration was this year. WWDC was exactly 50 episodes. We missed a couple.
But right. Well, that's impressive then to do a full year, especially not knowing each other beforehand and getting along well enough to talk each. Do you basically each week you record a new episode, give or take, if you miss a couple?
Yeah.
And do you often do it in person, or the one I watched anyways was you were on a Google Hangout, and we'll get into that in a minute, but obviously not in the same room, I'm assuming, but do you sometimes do it actually in the same location?
Yes, we did it on several special occasions. The first one was, well, the first episode. The second one was the iPad event of last year. We did it in News House. We actually tried, each time we tried to be more sophisticated. This time we already bought a Yeti. I convinced him to buy a Yeti, and we tried to record it on the same computer with two Yetis. It didn't work, obviously. So we just recorded side by side on two different computers. That was pretty ridiculous, but that we had to do. And we even tried to do it live for the first time using Mixler, really small site that does live broadcasting. And other than that, was really only on special occasions. Only in the last month, we are moving into a studio, semi-professional studio, and where we're supposed to do it together more often, not only on special occasions, but at least once a month. We'll do it in a studio environment with, I hope, a more professional environment. Actually, right now we're together, but only on two different rooms.
Oh, okay.
Instead of trying to record from with two mics, we just, you sit there, I sit here, and we're both on our computers and just record it separately.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, neat. And I know that's something I've done on occasion, is recording live in person. Often, most 90% of them tend to be over Skype, and so it definitely helps, I think, with the conversation. It's a pretty good connection that we have going here, obviously, right now, over Skype to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
One thing you guys are doing as well, I don't know how long you've been doing it for, but doing the Google Hangouts option as well with video feed as well. Is that a recent addition, or how long have you been using that tech?
When we started it, do you remember?
Not exactly, but it didn't start like this. We originally were audio only, and we meant to do it like the highest audio quality possible. That's why I improved my mic to Yeti, and Omer bought his pop filter, and we improved the software, recording software and everything. But then at some point, we started sacrificing quality to add some features. Omer, you can take it from here.
Yeah, yeah. We sacrificed ourselves for the quality, because the beginning of our podcast was in July and August in Israel, which is about something around 100, 110 degrees. And with the AC off, and it was really...
So you turned the air conditioner off so it wouldn't pick up the audio of the fans or whatever, right? Well, that is a sacrifice.
And closed all the windows. We actually
in the first few episodes, I had an old MacBook, and we used this ice, how you call them, that you put in the ice coolers, those pieces under the computer to physically keep it cold enough so the fans will not.
An icicle. Okay, I was thinking audio gear. There's an icicle mic thing, I think. I was thinking.
No. The actual thing that you put in the freezer and then in the cooler, you know.
Wow. There's bricks of ice on the bottom. Yeah, it was really. I also had like an older computer with fans. Yeah, but then I bought the Retina, so it was much quieter. But we moved to Google Hangouts mostly for the live option. We tried using Mixler again, a very nice site. It gives you like a radio show kind of feel, and you have chats and stuff. But it didn't have enough. Publicity didn't have enough crowd that we can take it. In Israel, YouTube is extremely popular. Actually, everything that might give you free video, free stuff is very popular in Israel. So YouTube is extremely popular. And we thought that we wanted to go live. We wanted audio live, because we were not interacting with the audience. So Google Hangouts was the easiest option. And because it was a video, we said, why not add features? So we added a lot of screenshots, and we tried to use the most of it, not be talking heads. That was our most worry. But unfortunately, we sacrificed a lot of quality. We had to speak farther from the mics. Google Hangouts itself pretty compressed the audio. I knew it from the beginning, because one of my inspirations to do that was the IMO show with René Ricci from IMO.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He has a lot of podcasts like Vector and Debug that are audio only, which are, the quality is great. And then there's the IMO show, which is a bunch of people on Hangouts. And they have professional equipment for some of them. And yet the quality wasn't as good, even though I only listened to it audio and not on YouTube. And still I could hear the lower quality. So I knew what we were getting into, but we decided that it was worth it. And a couple of times it was worth it. I mean, we had a lot of engagement. We have a few views on YouTube, and we feel better about it because we give better engagement to our audience, better much more options. Oh, I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
We are in our studio, but it's being hosted, and we can't be responsible for people calling. Really, after hours, it's 6:30 p.m. here, but still people call.
Yeah, that's quite all right. And so I noticed that was one thing I wanted to commend you on, I guess, is the quality, at least of, I forget whose camera it was that I wanted to ask what camera you were using, because the video quality was really good. I think Omar, maybe?
Yeah. You're very depending on the episode. But the last couple of months I've been using the Logitech 930.
Oh, okay.
Again, the same one as Andy Natko uses. I keep copying whatever other people do. I'm using the Logitech. It gives a pretty HD view. It's too wide for my taste, as you can see from the mess in my house. but it's pretty wide. Actually, the week before, the episode you watched, by the way, Neil used his iPad.
Oh, okay.
So it was via iPad again. Lack of computers.
We keep going low and low with the quality because I had the computer issue and I tried to use my wife's Lenovo, didn't work. So I just used the iPad as the camera and mic and everything, you know. And going from the Yeti and the MacBook and everything and all the equipment down to the iPad but it's like Tango, you know. We're taking a step back to move forward.
Right.
Now I'm sitting in the studio with the, what is it, Omer, you know better than me, Sony Z70, whatever you call it.
Z7, yeah, the studio camera.
Z7, yeah. So this is the next step.
Right, so you'll hopefully do video as well from the studio location is what you're planning to do?
Yes,
to do.
Yes. Episode 66, I think, was the best one to show what we wanted to do. We have a studio with a green screen behind us, two of us sitting at a table.
Nice.
Again, in this, in here we try to copy Tweet, but $1 million less than Tweet.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's what we all do.
Yeah, pretty much. Again, I will talk later about the inspirations, but yeah, we try to copy whatever we can. So we try to do it and do, we have either a TV between us or using the green screen as a screen and just trying to show stuff between us and speak to ourselves. And we have a professional camera, professional lights, and that's our future, we hope. Yeah, also using studio mics later on. Now we're going to use neck mics for the time being.
Right. Yeah, so what did you, and that's actually was the episode I just had loaded up, was the episode 66 on your YouTube channel. I won't try and pronounce the URL because it's, you know, a YouTube-y URL, but I'll put the link in the show notes, which folks can find at goodstuff.fm/smym/54. I'm just curious what you were using to do the, so there's obviously, we won't get into green screen technology as an explanation, but how are you displaying something behind you? What is there some sort of hookup to your laptop that you're, I'm just looking at a calculator screenshot or something that you have right now on there.
Yeah. Well, the week, 2 weeks before that, we tried to do the iPhone event live. We eventually did it with my camera because we couldn't set up the live stream. So we just used my camera as usual, but in a studio environment. So we used the physical TV to show stuff between us, including the pretty lame Apple streaming of the event.
Yeah.
This time, this episode DTC, we used it almost all in post. Fortunately, you couldn't listen what I said, but what I said most of the time, if we had a screen here, you would have seen this.
Oh, okay.
And later on in post, I listened to myself and put stuff there.
Yeah.
Actually, the green screen is extremely easy because I did it in Final Cut and it's just, you know, paste the background and then paste another layer of video. It's really simple. What we're going to do is the green screen going to be always there, with like a black box in the middle. And yeah, we will connect a second computer as a second input, exactly like you put a second mic, we'll just put another screen. And we can crop the screen to be like in the middle of us, and that will be always there and always have a screen to put it, including a guest appearances. We can always put in someone on Skype, just put it on full screen on this second screen and just put it in a Skype. That's what we want to, again, see Tweet.
Yeah,
we also had a recent broadcast during the iPhone event. What was it? I don't remember the episode number, but we were in the studio as well with the TV behind us, trying again to show the stream from Apple. But then, you know, Apple,
yeah,
Apple screwed it up, and we were basically, you know, just staring at this blank the TV, you know, bars, waiting to see the stream. There was no stream most of the show, and it was delayed. And at some point, Omer's brothers, who lives in the US, tried to actually, you know, show it. He had a stream in the US, and yeah, in FaceTime he delivered, and it was a mess.
he held his iPhone in front of his TV, tried to show us what was on the stream.
Right,
it was like third hand delivery.
Well, I guess,
but that was Apple's fault, or yeah, Akamai or whatever.
Yeah, if Apple can't get it together, I don't think the rest of us should feel too bad.
Yeah, that's fine.
So, yeah, I think that was looks like episode 64. I won't listen to the audio right now, obviously, but it looks like that's what you guys were trying to do there in on the YouTube page. And yeah, speaking of, you talked about your inspiration and you know, Twit, obviously, and Inyako and things like that. And that's I like what you guys are trying to do, though, with, you know, you do what you can with the gear and the cost and the money that you have or don't have, and as the case may be, to try and emulate as best you can. So your inspiration, I guess, being Twit and iMore, and what is it about some of those shows and the folks doing them that made you want to jump into this?
I have a feeling that Neil listened to podcast and audiobooks, by the way, which are kind of related, second cousins or something, much longer than I am, so I'll let him start about his inspirations.
Yeah, but I'm much more, I'm smaller scale than you, but for me, I've started, I think a few years ago, I don't remember how long ago, with Twit, of course, and by the way, in parallel with Dan Carling, Hardcore History, which is completely different model and content. But these were the two first podcasts that I've started with. Tweet was, you know, until today, every week, still I'm on it, and I always listen. On a recent trip last August, I was in a staying in Silicon Valley, and I actually took the time and the, over the weekend to go to the Twit studio and sit and meet Leo, and you know, it's kind of amazing. Yeah, it was amazing to see the equipment and the studio. It's an amazing experience just to see how you should do it.
Yeah.
And then go back home to my iPad. And but for me, it's mostly Twit. And the others, of course, the MacBreak Weekly and the Twig and others. Also, Car Talk, which is also completely different from anything else. It's, you know, the NPR radio show. But this is a good example for me for chemistry between two hosts, because Twit is a panel podcast, and let's say the Dan Carl in Common Sense or Hardcore History is a single host, and Car Talk are two hosts, and the chemistry between them is something that I liked a lot. There is also the big Israeli podcast, actually the single one that is actually successful, which is let's say that's translate to Making History or whatever, but it's another history podcast. And the others that I listen to are the guys, some podcasts from the Stuff You Should Know.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's good.
But this is for me now. Omer,
yeah,
has a much wider list.
Yeah, I have a problem. I think I started with the podcast that Neil mentioned, Making History. It's actually about more technology history and science history. It's actually, I think that if it was in English, it would probably be one of the most successful podcasts in the world. Stuff You Should Know with Dan Carlisle. It's really amazing. And if you see, we have a little bit fortunate to be in Israel. We have actually one site other than iTunes that actually has all the podcasts in Israel. I mean, if you are not there, you are not in the podcast environment at all. It's a bit called iCast, and it's they host all the podcast for free, which is also amazing. I don't pay for hosting or for storage. So they have everything. They're in the index. In their top 100 in Israel, there's probably 80 radio shows, which is basically just recorded and rebroadcast as podcast. And that's a really bad situation in Israel. And this guy, Ron Levy, from Making History, is on the top, is the first one. He has 100,000 listeners per week for a country with about maybe 2 million demographic, which are not religious Arabic or children. It's amazing. Better than most radio shows. And he probably is the inspiration for most of the amateur podcasters in Israel, which he is an amateur himself. He is the only one who actually getting sponsored. He created the Kickstarter event. He raised about, I think, $25,000, something like that. Again, for an amateur show. So he is like the inspiration for most of us. But he was the first one I listened to, driving on my motorbike every day to work, which is not very smart, but yeah. And I started listen to Stuff You Should Know, I think was the second one, which is pretty different because they are very organized, even though they don't seem like that, but they are very organized. But after that came the onslaught. I wrote it to myself here because I would never forget. I think I listened to every episode, for example, of The Talk Show, ATP, Clockwise, Code Killers, Macro Quickly, Tweet, Connected, I'm Also, Macro Scan, Macworld, The Rebound, and Upgrade. This is like the every week one.
And which, by the way, if you summarize the time that it takes, it gets to about, I don't know, like 8 or 9 days a week of just listening to podcasts.
Yeah, but I think I started listening to the American Tech Shows with 5x5, with the talk show, the original talk show, with Gruber and then Benjamin. After that was The Obvious, Hypercritical, and I forgot the name of Marco Ament one. I'm sorry, that's painful. His original show, and then ATP. So Dan Benjamin was also very, very big inspiration because he did something that unfortunately we would never be able to do, but still a dream, just to quit everything and create a podcast network. I think, I'm sure I'm wrong, but to me it felt like he was the first network, podcast network, genuine podcast network out there. I'm probably mistaking. I'm guessing Tweet was before that, but we tried to do better, and they it's famous that Leopold doesn't call it podcast, he called it Netcast or whatever.
Right.
So then Benjamin was the true evangelist, or yeah, we could call it, that inspired us all. And then his children spread and filled the earth with the ATP and the talk show later on. So I started discovering other podcast networks, and that again a very big problem because then I listened to everything I forgot the name, Mule Radio had to offer, and then I listened to whatever Tweet had to offer, and then now Relay FM. I hate Mike Hurley for creating even more podcasts.
I know, you can't, that guy.
Yeah, so that's only the ones that I listen to every episode of. I have like a thing about 15 that I listen to pretty frequently, and the ones like On The Media or WTF, like only if I see someone something that really interests me.
Yeah.
So
is it? You both had mentioned a few Israeli podcasts, and the fact that there is a big podcasting community, it seems, in Israel, that and I think every country probably has the same problem where radios, like traditional terrestrial radio or whatever it's called, kind of takes over the podcasting, I'm using air quotes, but like the podcasting lists, because here in Canada we have the CBC, and they rebroadcast all of their shows as a podcast, and so then that dominates the charts because they obviously have a lot of reach just on regular radio. But there's a very vibrant podcasting community in Israel, it sounds like.
Vibrant, yes, but very small. Okay. The ones that are very vibrant. I mean, Making History, the one that we mentioned, has a really big community. He has a meetups of about 200 to 300 people come physically to a place to a meetup. It's amazing. Yes, radio, maybe 80% of all podcasts are radio shows. We just rebroadcast and without commercials. So,
Yeah.
It's an obvious attraction. There's other shows, mostly about tech and science and skepticism, for example, okay. which is very big here. So, yes, if you gather people who want something they love in Israel, they're going to be fanatic about it. That's for sure. And that's the plus in being in Israel. But again, because radio in Israel, it's pretty big because we are addicted to news. We are addicted to information here, obviously, because with all the stuff that we have here. We have four different morning radio shows. All four of them are extremely popular. Again, it's like a radio network that has 25% rating for each of the four networks. That's about how it got here. It's ridiculous. So that's why we try to defer ourselves. Okay, now we are trying to target a small niches, but fanatic ones. That's the main goal of trying to put podcast in as well.
Yeah, and so that's what I'm curious about. Does it, in as much as you try to sort of emulate some of the, like you listed off, you know, a lot of the I guess it'd be North American, mainly American shows, you're trying to sort of emulate a bit of that, but obviously within your own culture, is it hard to sort of draw listeners in that would already maybe tune into ATP or whatever? Or is it the fact that you're speaking, you know, in Hebrew in their language, make it more interesting enough to tune in as opposed to always catching whatever Marco Arment's opinion is on, do you know what I mean? Like the language differentiated obviously helps in terms of just being a little easier to listen to, I'd imagine, but also your opinions and the perspective you bring to something like the new iPhone announcement. Obviously, Marco Arment or whoever, Leo Laporte, isn't going to care when that happens to be available in Israel, for example, or whatever. Is that part of the appeal, do you feel, with local listeners and trying to draw them in?
Yes. Definitely. That's why we tried to do it in Hebrew. We even had several podcasters in Israel tried to do an English show, which I think was pretty redundant. But yes, Hebrew is a big thing here for us to do it. We take really great care about it. And it attracts certain audience. For example, much of the younger audience. It's not really the best demographic, but still 14, 15, 16 years old tune into our show because it's easier for them to listen to stuff in Hebrew. We also have some, more mature that likes listening to people from their country with Hebrew and everything. But the other issue is that in Israel, English is more than a second language. Okay, actually, it should have been the third official language in Israel. So, like, I think most it used to be, but we hate the British and then we boycott them. But yes, I think it's not too much to say that I think 80% of all adults in Israel can speak a conversation in English. So you can imagine most of the tech savvy ones can understand English pretty well, and if they hear about a good podcast, they will tune into that. So that's why we really try to differentiate ourselves. And yeah, we will talk about the iPhone coming to Israel next week. We'll talk about the first maybe kind of Apple store in our duty free, whatever. Yeah, that's the stuff that interests us. Unfortunately, not enough news like that. But we try to give our perspective about it, most definitely, yes.
Yeah. Two more points worth mentioning, that Israel is a very, very, very technological country. It's sometimes called the startup nation. There are tons of startups around us, and people are very, very technological. Lots of engineers and software people, and so these people live in an English environment by default. If you are working for Intel or for Google or for whomever the American corporate is in Israel, you're living in English. All the internal mail, for example, are in English. So people do have a lot of English is not a barrier, but yet Hebrew is the comfort zone. So for people, even if they are spending all day in English, still having all the everything in Hebrew is kind of more relaxed or more easy for them to digest. One more interesting thing is that we have a group of listeners who are blind, and we got some feedback from them that we managed to somehow despite the fact that we switched to Hangouts to include video, we still managed to somehow describe to them well enough they like technology, but it's very difficult for them to understand the iPhone 6, which the major differences are in the look and feel and not necessarily the numbers or the nitty-gritty technology inside. It's also, but we somehow manage, that's the feedback that we get, to give them good enough of descriptions of what happens in the tech, or they can read about it in tech blogs, but they manage to get from us some another perspective, also localized perspective, because if something happened in Silicon Valley, the impact in the US might be different than the impact in Israel. You, for example, have a lot of issues, I don't know, with your cellular carriers or with stuff like this, which are in Israel completely different. So even with the infrastructures of internet or 4G or 3G in Israel, we are in completely different areas. So every announcement, Apple Payments, that's now is an issue in the US, the way that we talk about it is when we are going to get it, and what is currently happening between the Israeli credit card companies with Apple to where we know. So we are bringing both the ease of the language and also the localized version of the news. And I think this is the added value that we managed to bring in addition.
Yeah, and that's what I was trying to maybe get at, is for folks who are, I'm sure in every country, in the world, there's people doing a podcast trying to emulate, say, ATP or Twit. And rather than trying to do, replicate them in the international sense as much as they might feel international or whatever, but obviously they have a fairly US focused, I'm up in Canada, so I'm looking down on what they're doing too, but focus in on your local area, and that can be enough of a niche and an interest that people will tune into that, as well as getting the Marco Arment or Leo Laporte or whoever, Dan Benjamin's view on things. But your local folks, whether it's your city or your country or region or whatever, can be just as passionate and interested in your show, speaking to anybody, potential podcasters out there, if you do focus on local interesting angles on that tech, rather than trying to just, again, replicate the international sort of big shows, I guess, or whatever. So it's exciting to hear that that's going on and that you guys are having some success with that. I think I'm curious a bit more about the Google Hangouts and how you're sort of maybe using some of that audio, and I'll come back to that in a second. I just got to stop for a quick sponsor break, if I can, and want to thank Campaign Monitor for supporting and sponsoring goodstuff.fm. They make sending email really easy, especially our newsletter that we send out each week to all Good Stuff listeners and fans and subscribers, I guess. They make it super easy to make a really easy, responsive, great-looking designs. I do the newsletter each week and write it up and design. I do the opposite of what you should do and make a new design each week, just to try out their Canvas template builder, which you can check out at canvas.cm. And it's basically within, 60 seconds. That's not their time, or maybe that is their time, they say, but you can make yourself a nice template to send out an awesome newsletter to your fans or your customers or whatever you happen to be sending emails to. Looks way better than just firing up mail or Outlook or whatever and sending off an email. You can visit campaignmonitor.com to get started today. My thanks to them for sponsoring Good Stuff and Show Me Your Mic. So, yeah, you mentioned, we talked briefly about using Hangouts, and there's a lot of sort of moving parts if you start going to a Hangout, and we've done it a little bit here at Good Stuff with just our sort of bi-monthly or every few months live Hangout that we do with all the hosts. But do you record your audio separately, or do you just take the audio from YouTube? You'd mentioned sort of sacrificing a bit of quality, so I'm guessing that maybe is what you're doing. But do you take the audio from YouTube that they record and use that as your show if you do use Hangouts, or what's your method for recording when you use Hangouts?
Yes, we're downloading the MP4 and basically taking out the audio. I import it as a single track to GarageBand and edit what I can, mix the audio a bit, and trying to put some filters in it, and cutting any seem that really big chunks of quiet or mess or whatever. We try to use Waffen Bogia software. I forgot his name. The audio grabber one. Forget the name. Anyway, yeah, we tried to do that. Unfortunately, every time one of us forgot to put it on, it was equipment, because we do it, I think ourselves, is like 10 p.m. every day after our kids go to sleep and we're alone at home, and we try to do it as fast as possible, and everything sometimes is a mess. So that's why Hangout is like all-in-one solution. Yeah, we know about that. The quality, I played with the ideas and the options to even do a parallel Skype conversation or try to record. But then we go inside, cutting and editing too much. And I have very limited time in free time. So just editing it afterwards will be, sometimes it takes even 3 days for me to release an episode. And because we are talking about relevant news, so I don't want to take it too long. I know I could, but sacrificing quality for immediacy and ease of use, and just trying to find a different way to compensate for the quality, and that's what we try to do now.
Yeah, and I think it's certainly adequate. It's like you said, you know, that it could be better, but it definitely is adequate and works. Especially, I think it's a medium. The video medium is something that it's just adds an interesting dynamic to any podcast. If people could see you and I, us three of us talking, it just makes it that much more interesting, I think, to know the facial expressions as you're talking, the way you're gesturing, yelling at the screen, whatever you might be doing in a conversation. And I agree, like the topical discussion that you guys are obviously having with tech, it's you can't wait a week to to put that out and then have folks sort of already know everything about the iPhone or whatever, or go somewhere else, I guess, to find it out. Do you get much engagement as far as like sort of the chat and live conversation back and forth when you're recording on Hangouts, or is it something that people more just tune into later and, you know, are able to watch on YouTube?
It's more of the later. Only on special events, we have sometimes 5 to 15 people in the chat room, which is quite generous. The live iPhone episode, we had 50 people online live. Some of them using the Q&A of Hangouts, which is also a very cool tool. And we have a live chat, a very simple one. That's also some engagement. In the live episode, it was really important because people saw stuff before us. So there's just what in the chat, whatever Apple announced now that we couldn't see, or someone sending us links and information and stuff. Yeah, that was a really good engagement. But usually on a per week basis, yeah, most of the watches with the watch on YouTube is doing afterhand. And I use the tool, by the way, because I know the YouTube is immediately on. Sometimes if I see the audio version is delayed, so I just, you know, publish a link. I'm sure we're delayed. You can watch our nice faces now for, you know, as a conversation or something. That's the. But I think right from the get-go, we knew that going to video will be a sacrifice. So we really try to compensate it, and we use a lot of screenshots. We try to put links beforehand, and we hope to make the people see us as less as possible. I mean, you know, for sometimes, yeah, for obvious reasons, I'm having a bad hair day every once in a while. But yeah, I think we're showing again stuff that I wish that the video podcast would do more. I don't think they do it enough. Not the IMO show, not even Twit. Much more showing, less telling. And of course, still narrating everything. We still have a very strong blind audience, which is always like, I feel flattered every time I send compliments and questions, and we help them. It's amazing. So we try to use the tool that we do it to the max, and we know what we are missing, and we just hope to doing more, like, for example, product demonstrations and using like a small camera, a very close-up camera, to actually show stuff we are talking about. This is really important to us.
Yeah. Yeah, and I hadn't ever thought, I guess both visual impairment or audio, I guess, hearing impaired, someone who can't hear very well that would actually be able to tune in. And YouTube's, I mean, sometimes sketchy, but their auto transcription, I don't know how they would do it Hebrew, but I know with English you can sometimes get a quick transcript actually from your video as well if it's on a YouTube page, and which again, for somebody who has trouble hearing, would be able to read at least or get a general idea of what you might be saying, and which is very important. I think you mentioned using screenshots. I'm just curious, in the Hangouts thing, are you using the I forget what the technical term is in Hangouts, but there's the screen share app that you can then just choose a screen or a browser tab or whatever that you want to share, and that's how you're doing that?
Exactly. We have a screen sharing tool. We use that for showing a website and stuff. We even got boycotted from YouTube once because we showed too much of a Top Gear episode. yeah, that was really like, where was my video? No, I'm sorry. Yeah, that was a big mistake.
You just sort of sat watching the video instead of...
Yeah, no, we gave like 30 seconds, I don't remember of what even.
Yeah.
We talked about Top Gear because Top Gear is like, it's a non-technical show, but it's a very geeky show and exactly in the same audience. So I don't remember what we talked about, but yeah, it was. Yeah. But not only screen sharing, we use it a lot for, we use Air Video, no, not video, Air Server, I'm sorry, for showing our iPads or iPhone screens.
Oh, yeah.
To demonstrate stuff. Yeah, that's a very cool tool. We even use it as a camera. I mean, you can even use it in, you know, with it's written on the camera, and now you can see in the server, you can see the video. It's like a very amateur video cam for showing stuff. Yeah, we try to play. We played with, I think, with every tool that Google handled has to offer, even the stupid hats and glasses and beards that you can, pretty much everything. But we stick to the screen sharing, the Q&A tool. Sometimes there's like a link tool.
When we are preparing to each episode, we are clearly making, you're preparing some document, a document between us, a shared doc in Google with all the links. And before starting the episode, we both open, you know, a Safari or whatever window with all the tabs of all the links prepared. So basically we can leave the screen share on this window and just switch the tabs along the way. Of course, that more a lot of time we'll just forget it and show our internal document or just leave it. I don't know. I go to Facebook or whatever, but most of the time it works very well. Especially because again, this is in this technology world now. It's a lot of visuals, a lot of videos, a lot of screenshots, a lot of. You know, if you talk iWatch, is mostly you need to see what we are talking about because it's a fashion item. Not iWatch, sorry, Apple Watch. But so this tool is very, very useful for us.
Yeah, I think, and that's where I think maybe Google Hangouts gets a bad rap because it's bundled with Google Plus, and there's a lot of sort of nerds who get uptight about using Google Plus and things like that. But the Hangouts tool as an app or a service or whatever you want to call it is tremendously powerful, especially if you're getting into podcasting and trying to sort of experiment with it. It makes it so easy. I mean, if again, you're on a market like YouTube, which or a platform like YouTube, which has, you know, billions of users, obviously. And so the opportunity for people to just stumble on your show through searches and through random stuff is incredible. And yeah, the tool itself is really powerful, actually. Once you get sort of the hang of it and you spend your first episode messing around with the hats and stuff and then sort of get over that because it's fun. But and so what's the future for the non-cast? Where are you guys hoping to go with it and take it in the future? Every keeping going weekly and keeping on, or what's the plan?
Yeah, our plan is to keep with the non-cast. We are talking among ourselves about if we want to do it more Apple centric or tech centric, because I'm leaning very towards Apple centric. I worked in an app here in Apple reseller in Israel, the only reseller in Israel for 6 years. So I had a lot of time to talk with people about Apple and stuff, and I left the job 6 months ago. So I have a very big void in my life. So I need to speak about Apple more. So I think I want more Apple centric. But yeah, it's going to continue to be a tech show between two of us, and maybe with interviews in the studio, in a video studio, complete platform for video. But we also, because we heard that podcast networks are dying, so we obviously created one. So there's no podcast networks in Israel. There's one, the one we mentioned before, Making History. One of them is trying to make like a few podcasts joined together for sponsorships, but that's the closest thing we have. So we're trying. We already have two shows. We have another show which is a more traditional radio show, not live. They record it, they edit it, they put it on a student radio here, only about geek culture and pop culture. It's a very cool show with, I think, the most fanatic audience you can ever imagine, because, you know, it's about comics and stuff. And but we have very big plans for more podcasts in the studio. I want to do, basically, I want to copy Like I'm an Idiot, great podcast. Interview shows that we can learn about another profession. I want to copy, apps for kids, creating a show for parents, geek parents or tech parents about apps for kids and tech for kids. We try to target the niches. Either it's a geek car show that you want to do. It's a kid show for parents who want to know how to technologically educate the kids, and maybe an interview show. I mean, we're trying to go after the niches and try to do something that isn't in Israel. And it might be because we are on the verge of a revolution. I'm sure also in Canada and in the US, used to say that the revolution will be televised. No, the revolution will be internet nice or whatever. So we in Israel, we're on the verge of creating IPTVs. We're going to get, all of Israel are going to get a gigabit internet in the next year or two. Symmetric gigabit internet. It's amazing. All fiber optics. So everyone could make a TV show in an excellent streaming quality, and we'll have enough platforms to show it on directly on people's TVs, on the boxes. And we want to be prepared for that. And we're trying to create something very basic with our tools now, and maybe try to interest people into, you know, showing them that that's the future. We know what the future is. Unfortunately, nobody else does. So. in the entire podcast industry, we are actually relying on that. That's the next big thing. But it's the next big thing for the last, 12 years? So.
Yeah, I know. That's what a constant refrain every year is, this is the year of video, or this is the... And so we keep hoping, and it's fun to play with, at least. If it was drudgery and hard work, then I'm sure we would have given up a long time ago, but I know it's lots of fun to play and mess around with the podcasting in general, but also video as well. It's just a fun medium to play with. And like we said, with Google Hangouts and stuff. So the podcast network is geekster.co.il, right? Is the
That's a content site for everything that is geek-like. I mean, I don't have a problem with people geeking out about health or geeking out about cars. It's not necessarily comic geek or pop movie geeks. It was built on the two or three podcasts. But still, if we have something to write, we'll write it. But if we have something to show, we'll show it. So that's the Geekster network, yes.
Nice. Okay. Well, in wrapping up, the other one, we sort of covered all the shows that you like to listen to. We had, I think, 5 minutes list.
No, there's more.
There's more. Or maybe you can send me a list, OPML file or whatever, and
I actually need to write Marco. I know he had beta testers for Overcast. I know he had some really serious people, but no, nobody stresses. No, my Overcast is about, I think, 9 or 10 gigabytes.
Oh wow!
I saved about 20, I think 30 hours. You know, with the saving, skipping up stuff. I think I saved about 30 hours. I listened to everything 1.5. And English is not my native tongue, but I know it now. Just, you know, that's, yeah, I want more. I'm much more of a quantity person than quality. So.
Well, there you go. You can listen. You can add goodstuff.fm to your queue.
Oh, I already did. Oh, yeah, okay. It was really big mess. Obviously, I went to, I discovered Somio Mike with the Dan Benjamin House episode and Jason Snell and all the celebrities one. I see it's a network. I wonder what more they have. And I now have like half of your shows already on my Overcast.
Oh, nice. Well, that's good to hear. We were just this morning is Tuesday, Tuesday, October 14th, where I am in the morning, and you said an evening over there, obviously, for you. Mm-hmm. But we were just Last night, I guess, was the last night we were featured in iTunes on the homepage of podcasts, and Good Stuff was featured. And for any podcaster out there, I'm curious what that means, I guess, just to relate a little bit of inside information or whatever, is just purely like quadruple. I haven't pulled all the stats yet, but one of my, Adam, another founder here, pulled some of the stats, and four times the downloads and all that kind of stuff. It kind of goes nuts for a week. And so we'll see now what happens, I guess, as far as follow through. So if you're one of those people who happens to, I guess now you wouldn't be, because this episode is now post being featured, but maybe there'll be some residual. You guys missed the big window, I guess, but
yeah.
No, but if you are someone who's checking us out because of that, or you subscribed and sort of hung around because of that, first of all, welcome. Thanks for checking us out. Thanks for subscribing, adding us to your Overcast or whatever it might be. And be sure to visit goodstuff.fm for other shows besides just this podcasting one, of course, like Omer said. What apps do you use to listen to? You said Overcast. Is that popular for both of you, or what are your apps for listening to podcasts these days?
Neil has a short answer, so I'll let him go first.
I use just the podcasts by Apple. It's good enough for me.
It's getting better, that's for sure.
Yep. They did have some issues before in the past, and now it's, for me, it's just good enough. You know, it downloads what I need. Everything that I need is just on my device, and I play it in my car in Bluetooth or in headphones or whatever. And it's, for me, it's enough.
Yeah. How about for you?
No, I'm saying we always laugh about Nia about using the podcast app. But I know a lot of people do, and that's a good thing for Apple, you know, making it default and taking podcasts to the front. Yeah, it's fun. You know, what you said about people quadrupling your results is amazing. But the good thing is it's subscriptions. I hate this word. But because of that, like a lot of people who came for one or two episodes, like me, will just keep on getting the episode and we will find something they like. So you just need to use the momentum. But basically, subscribers, the fact that the podcast is subscription-based and not television or radio, that's amazing. That's a really big plus for us.
Yeah.
I used to use Downcast, actually. That was my favorite one because it has a very nice car interface. You can just swipe back and forth. It was pretty good for me, but then Overcast came out, and you know, 1 kilo fritzel, that's all you need. I forgot the name, the smart speed. It's amazing. It's really, I see the savings. I see the time that it saves me, and time is important. I have like 2 hours. Commute a day at least, but still I want to listen to more, as I said. But it doesn't have an iPad app yet, and it doesn't have video. So for that, I use Instacast because it has syncing for iPad and Macs and iPhones, and because it's like still has video, and I think I have Code Killers and MacBook Quickly and Tweet, which are still watches video.
Yeah, oh, that's true. I had forgotten that it doesn't do video, so that would be So you just sort of juggle two apps to keep up with the video feeds. Interesting.
Yeah, the just for that. Sometimes I use YouTube, but YouTube doesn't have 1.5 speed, so.
Right. So you're going against the great Dan Benjamin, who rails against anybody who uses.
I know, and I feel bad. I really, I mean, I every time, like, it's like your father saying, I'm disappointed. No, I know, and I know everybody hates that, but, you know, you can't listen to Hosted You on one speed. I'm sorry. You really can't. But sometimes they need to slow down the incomparable. Sometimes they speak too fast, and it's also edited very good. I mean, you can see when a show is edited well, good, like this, so Snell does, and Chris Breen, then you don't need a smart speed. You all sometimes don't need to 1.5 speed. That's why I like Clockwise. Clockwise is like 30 minutes on the dot. So, I'm sorry. It's just too useful. I'm sorry. I'm really, Dan, if you're listening, you know.
Well, we should stop so you can have time to listen to some more podcasts yet tonight before you go to bed. Otherwise, you might.
Yeah, I volunteer. When my kid was born, every Saturday morning, like my wife kept sleeping. I said, I'll take him. It's fine. I'll 2 hours walking in the park. Yeah, I don't care.
Well, that's awesome. Where can folks find you on the, do you do the Twitters or whatever your folks find you on the internet these days?
Well, Facebook, I want to mention two things. Facebook in Israel, I don't know. I know that people in the US laugh about it, but Facebook is 110% in Israel. I mean, some people have two profiles. That's why it's 110%. So finding us on Facebook will be the easiest. It's just our names. Twitter is only for the geek. So I'm at Omer Nino, OmerNinyo.
Nirho.
Yeah. And if we have WhatsApp, you can also just find us there. And WhatsApp is the other thing that I sometimes, what Nina mentioned before, I don't end it, but the Israeli aspect. Every podcast that I heard about the WhatsApp news, that they bought for $19 billion, everybody in the US like disregard it. But in Israel, WhatsApp is the main communication device in Israel. On top of anything else.
Really?
The last war, names of the killed soldiers went on WhatsApp before any other news media.
Wow.
It's amazing. And naked photos, you know, of celebrities, whatever, all the worst and bad things and the good stuff, all on WhatsApp. It's amazing. And when we heard about 19 billion, we just said, what, that's it? So, yeah. So I just needed to mention that. Maybe an American and Canadian audience, WhatsApp is big, it's huge.
Yeah.
Stop this regard.
Yeah, it's a niche thing over here, certainly, where some people use it and some people don't. And in general, it's kind of a, you know, we'll stick to the sort of the major platforms and just texting for the most part. And I'm probably out of the demographic that uses any of that stuff. But yeah, it's interesting, just the geographical, I guess, usage of different apps and things that people sort of grab onto in different cultures and for a variety of reasons. But cool. Well, thank you guys both for coming on. This has been awesome to talk with both of you, and I wish you much success in your podcast, and especially launching a podcast network in a terrible time to have a podcast network. Although I hardly disagree. It's been the best thing, I think, to be a part of good stuff, and I'm sure you guys have found the same. It's awesome to have folks that you're doing this stuff with and building things with together. And it's funny how you're both in the same space, but just that one connection over obviously is causing issues.
I think he's connected via wired, and I'm like in the back room in the closet with a wireless on. So, yeah.
There you go. You can definitely tune in and check out their sites. Obviously, it's I think, is it 100% Hebrew, right?
Yes, sometimes the titles, you know, and the brand names are in English.
So, so depending on where you're from and what you speak, obviously, it'll be of great interest or of difficult interest, possibly, but still worth checking out, I think, seeing what folks in different parts of the world are doing and using podcasting as a medium for. You can check out their YouTube channel. It'll be all linked at goodstuff.fm/smym/54. I'm iChris on Twitter, and goodstuff_FM is the Good Stuff Twitter account. Thank you all for listening. See you next time. Bye.